take our Bibles this evening, and we're going to actually turn to several passages of Scripture, because tonight I just want to share with you some of the debt that we have to 2009. We're right just a few days away from the new year, and in God's goodness, very soon we will have another privilege to enter an entire different kind of year. All kinds of changes have taken place since 2000. So many that there are too many to mention. But right now, what I want to just share with you is our present concern in our personal responsibility as we journey over this unknown road of another year. This coming year will be approximately 366 days, about 8,760 hours. Of that time, 2,900 hours will be spent sleeping. 525,600 minutes. How are you going to use that time? You know? And the amount of time that we actually give to the Lord gathered for worship is very small. So if we're determined to get a hold of each flying moment, each flying minute, something to take with us, to keep in store, then there are several debts that we must discharge. Debt might not be the most popular word, this considering all that has taken place this past year, how much turmoil and unrest we may have experienced, especially this past year, yet it is a most practical term. In the selected scripture that I picked, I wish really to look up and for you to look up and read. And in doing so, we're going to find a couple words that are repeated all through these verses. That's why I picked them. Number one is the word must. And number two is the word ought. Must and ought. Good words. All right. Often repeated words in Scripture, not in just the passages I'm using tonight, but they express really points of duty given to us. These words also express obligations for believers. Ought is what we owe to do. In the New Testament, ought bears the significance of debt. In other words, ought then is what we owe to do. So in 2009, there are things that we owe to 2009. We owe the Lord to seize the day in which we live, to seize the time that he's given us, all the minutes and all the hours and all the days and all the months he's given us, and seize them. And so that's why I picked these verses, so we can look at these words and see some of the things that we owe, that we ought to do, that we must do as Christians. And so the first one is found in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, so turn there. And it's a very simple one, a very clear one. And I'm not going to spend a large amount of time in any one of these because I want to quickly go through it this evening. I know that sometimes holiday gatherings are small because everybody's visiting. Some people are sick. And yet, I thank the Lord that you're here tonight. And I appreciate that very much on these, when we have a little bit too much holiday this past week, and we're all tired and exhausted, and just want to go home and kick our feet up and rest. But you're here, and let's look at the passage, and it's simple. Acts 5:29 simply says, "But Peter and the apostles answered," at the end of that passage of Scripture, "we must," right, "obey God rather than man." I picked this one first because this is where we always ought to start. You notice that the word must is in there. We must obey God rather than man. Someone gave me a lapel pin one time that simply read, God first. I used to wear that on my lapel. It did remind me, for the time I did have it, till I grew out of lapel pins, that kind of thing. But I thought that I always liked that one because it just simply said, God first. And it was a constant reminder for me that in the realm of humanness, for at least for the Christian, nothing has the right to come before God. As the year unfolds, the old time challenge will come our way. And that challenge is choices will have to be made. And those choices usually are made between the will of God and the wishes and desires of other people that are not considering the will of God. And though that's the pressure cooker that we're always in, right? And so this year is not going to be any different. It's going to be, this is what God wants you to do, and this is what everybody else wants you to do. What are you going to do? You have to make that choice. And people do make that choice all the time, and they don't always make the choice with God first. Sometimes they make the choice with flesh first. I'm tired. I'm weary. I can't go on anymore. I've got difficulties. I can't think straight. And there's thousands and thousands of excuses. And so those are the kind of choices that we have to make this coming year. But remember this, that God is always first before man. It is always wrong to put man before God. But isn't that the real problem of the world? The problem of the world today is they've kicked out God. They don't have time to think about God. They don't have time to consider what he says, what he desires, what he wants. And so therefore, all the problems of the world, all the problems of the world come from God not being first. You know what that means? That means this. If that man is at the center of everything and God is left out, then when we don't put God first, that's where our problems start. Right there. That's we can trace our problems down to when we didn't put God first. So God is always first. And when God takes the second place, there will be problems. Now, of the two greatest commandments that the Lord's given us in the Word of God, the second cannot be found before the first. And you know what they are. I don't even have to turn there or for you to turn there in Matthew 22. Simply says, you shall, the first commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, right? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is, the Bible says, the greatest and foremost commandment. So that's always been God's order of priority. It's never been different. It never will be different. It's always God first. And of course, what comes second after that is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So that is the second, and it is always the second. It's never the first. And so under this first one is that we ought or we must obey God. We must put God first. We must make choices that put God first and not our fleshly choices first and not other people's choices first, but God's choices first. Now, that is a great way to live. Because I know when you do, wonderful things take place when God is first. So we ought or we owe it to God to obey him rather than men. That's the first one. The second one is this. We ought to, or of course we must, heed the divine voice. Now, another passage of Scripture, if you turn over to Hebrews, if you are good enough with your Bibles, turn over to Hebrews chapter 2, and I'm taking these verses from all over the place, wherever these words came up. Hebrews chapter 2, and if you notice in verse number 1, it says this, Hebrews 2 verse 1, it says, for this reason, and of course the reasons are given in chapter 1, for this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what you have heard so that we do not drift away from it. So the second ought is we must heed the divine voice, just the voice of God that comes from the Word of God. What a year of spiritual progress we could have if we close our ears to every other voice and just listen to the voice of God. Right? What progress we would have. Many voices will clamor for our attention, but Christ's sheep know his voice and follow where he leads. So the scripture is saying, listen, for this reason we must pay closer attention to what we have heard. And it's interesting, in other words, we ought to turn our mind more toward really listening to what we have already heard from God's word. So in a very real way, he's saying, listen, the word of God and what it says, it's going to repeat itself. The principles are going to be repeated. So don't let, listen to the point that you don't let what you have heard slip away or drift away. So again, why should we engage in this admonition with some effort this next coming year? Well, so we don't drift away from what we already have been taught and heard preached from the Word of God. I want to remind you that from the book of Acts, if you remember, the primary task of the church is to hold forth the truth, right? The primary task of the church is to hold it up on a pillar and display it so all can see and hear it. The preaching of the Word of God is and should always be the primary business of the church. Everything else, as far as the mission of the church, is secondary. So here this admonition is to listen to God. And why should we listen to him? So in a very real way that it won't run away from us. We won't forget it. We won't lay it aside. It won't be like water leaking from a vessel. You know, it goes in and then it comes out the bottom because the holes aren't plugged up. Sometimes that's what happens. You, like some people say, you hear the word of God, you get it filled up in your thimble, and then when you get to the parking lot, you spill it, right? And so you lose everything. It drifts away from you. So, listen, we ought to give our ears over to God and be in tune so that we can detect even the least whisper of God's voice and heed it and do that so it doesn't run away from us. That's the second thing that we ought to do. A third thing is a simple one. It's one that we all know, but I think this is one that we always have to be reminded of. In Luke chapter 18, in verse number 1, Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1, and maybe this is one that is often given to us in Scripture as an admonition. Luke 18 and verse number 1, of course, it's simply this. Let me read it. It says, now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. So the third one is we ought to be more prayerful. We ought to be more prayerful. Every new year demands that we pray more. But I see prayer among believers being encroached upon and pushed out of the routine of their daily life, their weeks, and their monthly schedules. Our text really stands in a place where there are stated seasons of prayer. Not only when we feel like doing it, or when we have the urge, but he simply says, listen, here's the parable to show that at all times we ought to pray, always, for ourselves, for all men, for all things. And when we pray on like this, we are actually hedging against the possibility of, as it says in the end of the verse, losing heart. Prayer is the thing that enables us, strengthens us, so we don't give up. That's what losing heart means. We ought never to give up the practice. of praying. I guess maybe the, one of the greatest things that I get encouraged by is when God's people gather for prayer, and they want to be there, and they move schedules to get there, and they even fought traffic to get there, but gathering together corporately to pray, and not letting any excuses get in the way of that. That's a great encouragement. Probably the greatest encouragement to me is to know that God's people are praying. So we ought to be more prayerful. We ought to heed the divine voice. We ought to put God first in all things. And a fourth thing is we ought to please God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 1. We ought to live in a manner that pleases God. And it, of course, as you turn there, thinking of the new year as a journey, it is important to know how to walk. Jesus always lived for the pleasure of the Father. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:1, "Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do," meaning that the Thessalonians were already walking in a pleasing manner. But God says, listen, at the end, you still excel more and more. That, listen, if you're walking in a pleasing manner for the Lord, go and excel in that discipline. Excel in walking in a way that pleases God. Excel in a way in which you are giving God the supreme object of your love, and that you live for God's pleasure. You live for God to look on your life and to know that he is pleased with the way you are walking, pleased by your growth, pleased by your attitude, pleased by your thoughts, pleased by your pursuits, pleased by your priorities, pleased by your relationships, pleased by those things. So don't ever think that you have somehow arrived at a satisfactory point of walking to please God. You don't. And that's his admonition. You should excel still more in this area. Are we excelling? We ought to do this. This is our debt to 2009, to be more pleasing and walking in the ways of the Lord than we ever were before in our life, to be more apt to listen to God's word and put into practice than we ever have in our life, more ready to put God first and put everything second than we ever have in our life. That's what we need to excel in. That's what we ought to do. That's our debt to 2009. Not to go backwards, to go forward, right? To fix our eyes on the mark. And then, of course, 1 John 4:11, which I spent a lot of time on this morning, we ought to love, all right? We ought to love. But if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. There's that word, ought. And so this next coming year, don't do this. Don't carry over from the past years the old hatreds, the old bitternesses, the old feuds, and the old estrangements from other people, and the old sinful patterns. Drop them off and get rid of them so we can do what 1 John actually says to do. If you turn to 1 John, what's interesting is that 1 John has many oughts in it, and there are several other ones. And let me just throw them out to you real quick. The first one, of course, is in the Gospel of John, not here. And it simply says we ought to serve one another. It says in John chapter 13, verse 14, "If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet." Right? He was talking about service there. We ought to be doing this. That's our debt to humanity, to serve them. A second one in 1 John 2:6, right there in 1 John, we ought to walk as Christ walked. Verse 6, 1 John 2, that the one who says he abides in him ought to himself walk in the same manner as he walked. Walk as Christ walked. Take his example in the way you walk in your life. And then in 1 John 3:16, we ought to sacrifice for others. It says this, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. It's talking about sacrificial love there, sacrificing for others. And then in, actually, 3 John, verse number 8, you don't have to turn there, we ought to show hospitality. It says there in 3 John 8, therefore we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. And he's talking about real, genuine missionaries who actually are going out there preaching this and supporting that work in support ministries too, that they're supporting other missionaries to get the word of God out to other places. And so we ought to support those works. We ought to be behind them. We ought to be giving financially, prayerfully, which we are doing, but we still have to do more, right? The work never ends while we're on this side of eternity. So those are some of the oughts of 1 John. And then, of course, the sixth one, and I only have 7, is James 3:10. We ought to be consistent. It says here, from the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. And he was talking about there out of the mouth of a person, one sentence is blessing a person, the other sentence is cursing a person. He's saying that, listen, for a believer, that ought not to be. All right? And he was talking there partially about consistency. In other words, God forbid that we should be known as Mr. Facing Both Ways. We don't want to be that kind of person. We don't want to be the kind of person that is two things are coming out of our mouth. We want to be consistent, that the same thing is flowing from us, from inside of us, that our spiritual life is bound to suffer if we are equally at home with Christ and the world. Two different things going on, being duplistic in our thinking, double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, the scripture says, right? We want to be very consistent and may the rare jewel of consistency adorn our testimony this coming year. And that's consistent really in everything. Consistent in our reading the Word of God, in our attendance, in our service, in our growth, consistent in everything you can think of about the Christian life. And then one last thing is that we ought to invest. We ought to invest. In Matthew 25, verse 27, then you ought to have put my money in a bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. In this coming year, we must invest all that we are and all that we have in God's service. So what we have is ours only on loan from a good God. That's all that we have. Using what we have wisely, investing it wisely. If God's given you gifts and talents, use them wisely. If God's given you provisions to help, use them wisely. If God's given you time, and use it wisely. Invest those things. Therefore, all our talent lent to us by God must be at his disposal at all times. Now, this is a parable here. The one talent man, which I'm not going to go into the exposition of that, but the one talent man put his talent in the wrong place. And it really bore no kind of fruit for the Lord. The least thing he could have done is put it in the bank and collected interest, right? Didn't even do that. So we ought not to put the talents that God has given us to the wrong use, put them in the wrong place. We should use it to in the right way. So that's all I'm saying tonight. These are just something short. Are some of the things that we ought to do. We owe it to this next coming year to tighten up our life, to stop being children in our thinking and to mature and to be serious about the Lord and serving the Lord. Because you know that when you do, that's where the joy and the stability and the overcoming of the world and the overcoming of our difficulties and problems, that's where it all flows into our life and we get some sense of rest and joy that's sustainable in our heart when we put God first. So looking back over this past year and thinking over the things that you ought to have done and didn't, and then looking over the year over the things that you should not have done and did. And that's always what we have to be looking for when we, in the transition from this year to a new year, there is some things we could change, right? It is a great opportunity to lay aside some things, to take on some things that are significant and be more ready to serve the Lord. So what we need to do is we need to seek forgiveness for all the unpaid debts of love and patience and kindness and service, and resolve that as another year unfolds before us, that all our debts will be consistently paid. So these are some of the passages of scriptures that show us what they are, and then we ought to implement them by the power of God's Spirit in our daily walk with the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you tonight for just a simple devotion, really, in your word. And I ask you, Lord, that as we're looking forward to 2009, we know, Lord, there's many things in front of us that are unsure. Lord, we do not know what's around the corner. But, Lord, you do. And we can trust in you and your plan and your will. But I just pray, Lord, tonight that you would just help us to focus on our personal responsibility that we have to time, and that we would use it wisely. And that, Lord, any unpaid debt that we have for love and patience and kindness and service, that we would resolve tonight to put those things aside, to re-examine them. And, Lord, the things that we ought to have done, we didn't, help us to now do them this year. The things that we should not have done and have done, I pray that we would lay aside those sins that so easily beset us and hold us back from running the race. And I pray, Lord, in doing so, that your name would be glorified in our life, and that, Lord, we would live for your pleasure. We would live in a way that pleases you, and we know it because we're doing it according to the word. So, Lord, tonight, go before us even this week as we transition from one year to another, and help us to think on these things and to put ourselves in a place that, Lord, at least even to know that we do have a debt towards 2009. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing.